Welcome to A World of Good Podcast. My name is Andrew Gale. Thanks so much for joining us for this episode. We are currently in a car in Thailand. We're at our regional coordinator meetings in Chiang Mai, and we are trusting that Joshua Uyghur is going to be able to drive on the wrong side of the road. Well, the correct side of the road in this country, the opposite side of the road for us, while we have a conversation about with our good friends Jason and Abby Torgerson. But right now, for this episode, we are doing a series on regions where the Church of God has a presence. So we're looking at the Church of God demographics, history, context, what it looks like around the world. Today, we're joined by our great friends, Jason and Abby Torgerson, who are the RCs in Latin America. Thanks so much for being with us, Jason and Abby, and so excited for the experiences we've had so far in Chiang Mai. We literally, the three of us, just got off elephants, which is a weird thing to say. I don't know that I'll ever be able to say that again, but I just got off an elephant. What was your experience with that?
That was simultaneously the scariest and the coolest thing I've done in a really long time. And kudos to Andrew for riding with our 7-year-old son, Josiah, because I don't think I'd have had the guts to try to keep myself on and him.
He did awesome. He did awesome. But it was way up there. Well, Jason, Abby, we're so grateful that you're here with us as we talk about Latin America and the work of the Church of God there. You guys, just so people know, you guys are the RCs, and you live in San Jose, Costa Rica, which is kind of smack dab in the middle of that region, right? I mean, tell me a little about where you are and your specific context.
Sure. So when we took this role, we looked at locations that would be easily accessible to the U.S. as well as other regions. As far as airfare goes, it's probably one of the cheapest places to fly in and fly out of in our region, which is really helpful. And there's a hub just south of us in Panama. So we're situated in a really good location.
That's awesome. So as you start talking about the region, I think one of the first questions people might wonder is what's considered Latin America? Because you have countries in Central and South America that don't speak Spanish. So, you know, how do you guys split up the work that you do? And you have Spanish-speaking countries in the Caribbean. So what does that look like?
Yeah, so everybody defines that a little bit differently. But basically in the Church of God, the way that we define Latin America is anything Spanish or Portuguese-speaking south of Texas, excluding Puerto Rico, that tends to affiliate more with the Concilio Hispano in the U.S. just by being part of the U.S. But basically, if you go to Mexico, anything Mexico on south that speaks Spanish or Portuguese, that's a total of about 20 countries.
Wow.
That's considered Latin America as far as the Church of God's concerned.
So really, it's all of the Americas, because Mexico is technically North America. I mean, we often talk about the Church of God in North America, but in a technical sense, U.S., Canada, and Mexico are all part of North America. So you are working with the Church of God across the Americas, from North Central to South.
Correct.
That's a huge swath of geography to have to engage with. Thankfully, the fairly common language, with Spanish and Portuguese being the language, which is a difference for some of the other regions that have lots of different languages to deal with. Can you tell us a little bit about the church in general there? Like, how many countries is the church in? Do you know how many churches there are, believers, those kind of things? So we can just get a picture of what that looks like.
Yeah, so we have a presence in 20 of the countries. And currently we have just under 1,000 churches and about 70,000 believers in the region.
Wow, that's a large group. It's not the largest in the world, but that's a fairly large group of churches across the region. And so that includes churches as far south as Argentina and as far north as Mexico. And do you have places in the region that have larger presence than other countries? Where are some of the big hubs?
Yeah, so maybe not the biggest hub. The biggest hub would be Bogota, biggest hub would be Bolivia. They have the largest number of churches and individuals, believers in that country. I would say the fastest growing would probably Brazil, who are planting churches at a rate probably faster than the rest of the region.
That's very cool. Can you give us any insight into the history? How long has the church had a presence in Latin America? When did the work in Latin America start? You know, just to know, like, what's the oldest church that's there? What's the newest church? To give us kind of that kind of a perspective.
Yeah, so Latin America has the distinction of receiving the first missionaries from the Church of God, which, of course, was pretty informal at the time that all of that got started. But in 1892 is when the first missionary came over from North America and crossed the border into Mexico. So maybe not geographically a long trip, but that's considered to be the first overseas venture from the Church of God. And so we've got, you know, every country's got a different history, but we have several of our countries that are 100 years old or close to 100 years old.
Wow.
or recently celebrated that anniversary. So
1892, so we're talking just 10 years after the start of the Church of God, there was already a presence in Mexico.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. What's the newest church that is in the region?
So our newest one is actually El Salvador, and they opened up in 2020 during the pandemic while everybody was hunkering down and trying to find toilet paper. The fact that they were able to start that was a really encouragement as people were trying to draw back or how we're going to handle regulations. But great testimony to what God's doing in El Salvador and just how he has provided for the church and the churches around it who have really invested in Central America that has really poured into that and continue to not just financially support, but also through prayer and through visits and encouragement and walking alongside them in that process.
That's really cool. That's really cool. And it's exciting to know that the church is still expanding and growing, you know, and that it's not, the work is not done, that there's still engagement in that region. So structures are helpful for us to understand how things operate and work. So in Latin America, can you give us a little bit of an understanding of what the structure is of national leaders? So like non-Americans that are working in Latin America, you know, so what is the structure across the region? What does that look like and what does it do?
Yeah, so each country has, of course, its national leadership, which definitely varies from country to country. Some of them are fairly informal, and some of them are extremely organized with regular monthly meetings and elections and all those kinds of things. But on a regional level, this is one thing that's been really cool and unique in our part of the world. Since about the 1960s, there's been conventions that have been held Latin America-wide that they've called the SEED Convention. SEED is a long acronym in Spanish. But as the conventions developed, they also developed a leadership team that essentially served as event planners, but also had some ideas and some vision for the region. And that group has really grown and developed. And right about the time that we were stepping into our role, this group of three elected leaders, a president, vice president, secretary, came to the Global Strategy Office in Anderson and said, you know, as we're in this period of transition, we would really love to step up and be doing more in the region, more of the work that had previously been for the regional coordinator. We would really like to step in and take on those roles. So things like casting a vision for the region and theological training. And so not just planning these conventions, but really unifying the Church of God
in
Latin America.
That's really exciting.
Which has been super exciting. And actually an example of that has been El Salvador. The initiative there were their connections with some personal connections that they were able to make to come across this pastor that planted the church in El Salvador. And it's been completely the SEEDS initiative to bring countries together, to ask countries for financial support and to ask the brothers and sisters in Guatemala to kind of stay connected and visit more often, and they've organized mission trips. It's been just an incredible initiative to see Latin American leadership rallying around church planting and development that's been entirely Latin run and funded and initiated.
That's so exciting. I think one of the things that people maybe don't fully understand about our structure is that we're not necessarily, or not at all, in charge of work that's happening in other countries. So when you talk about the SEED, and so that's three leaders from across Latin America, what is your relationship as RCs for Latin America to that body? Are you in charge of them? Are they in charge of you? What does it mean to be working in that kind of a structure?
Sure. We were blessed in coming into this role when we were asked. One, we were very humbled, and two, we were overwhelmed at the possibility of being the RC for the region, which historically has been one that is kind of the gatekeeper for the ministry, or gatekeeper is looked upon by the nationals. And one of the unique things about Latin America was when we were coming on, one of the things the local leaders said is, we don't need somebody to coordinate this or that. We want to take a bigger role in that process and keep it in-house. And yes, it would be great to walk alongside or have somebody walk alongside us. It would be great to do this in partnership. And so what really developed was a relationship where we've developed the relationship with the 3C leaders, as well as working with national leaders. And our focus is really to walk alongside the national leaders, meet with the national leaders in the SEED, but as well working with our missionaries on the ground, providing support to them as needed. And we also look through the lens of projects as we develop and look at projects that need to be renewed or projects that need to be on their last stages. And so we have the great opportunity to look that through the eyes of somebody from North America, but also leaning on the local leaders to give us insight as we navigate that.
So you really do work in partnership. I mean, it really is not, there's not a hierarchy there, but it's really you engage and work at the request and the desire of the leadership on the ground.
Correct. And that goes just not for the local leaders, but with the home office in Anderson, we all work as a team to pull this off. And we have such great support with Josh and Michaela and projects, as well as Andrew and Steven providing logistics and all the office staff. We're incredibly blessed to be a part of that team just within the U.S. and outside the U.S.
I think it's so helpful. You know, we talk about, you know, that our vision, our goal, the work that we do is walking alongside the local church. But I think it's important for people to know that's not just a tagline. That is literally what we do as we work. You know, we work with the local church, not being in charge, not directing, but in partnership. And I think Latin America is a great example of where that's happening and where, for the most part, it's happening really well. And that's really exciting. I think the language thing is really fascinating to me. So in Latin America, you have kind of a unifying language of Spanish and Portuguese. And yet, that makes it really unique for our missionaries, because in a lot of places around the world, there's multiple languages spoken, and everyone that needs to communicate with each other comes to English. So you think about in Africa, there's French, there's Swahili, there's a lot of different languages, tribal languages, but when communication happens across those different groups, they often come to English. In Latin America, the language that people come to is Spanish, which means that you have to be so much more versed in language to do the work that you're doing. Has that been a benefit in the work that you're doing? Or has it been helpful or a challenge in the work that you do?
I think for the missionaries, it probably adds a layer of challenge, especially if you're coming to Spanish or in the case of Brazil, Portuguese a little bit later in life. But honestly, as a region, I think it's been a tremendous blessing, because we can find, particularly with Spanish, there's a lot more Spanish resources than even Portuguese resources, but especially more than, you know, maybe a tribal language or a language from a smaller country. And so I think from a resource sharing standpoint and from a unity standpoint, people get to communicate with each other for the most part in their heart language. Now, we do have some indigenous languages and a few other languages that are spoken in the region, so it's not entirely Spanish. But for the vast majority of our brothers and sisters in the Spanish-speaking countries or in the case of Brazil, Portuguese, they can really grow in their heart language and share together. And luckily, even Portuguese and Spanish are not dramatically different from each other. And so many of our Brazilian pastors who travel to Spanish-speaking regional events are able to function. They just speak in Portuguese, and the Spanish speakers speak in Spanish, and for the most part, everybody gets each other, which works out really well.
That's really cool. I think that unifying factor is really, really neat and a really cool aspect of the Latin America region.
Yeah, one of the things with Belize, when I was in Belize, the official language in Belize is English. And I was with the Ayalas in a more indigenous area, and everybody was understanding English. And I was talking to a national leader, and he was pretty guarded, just kind of, why are you here? Who are you? And as soon as I flipped to Spanish, I watched his demeanor open up. And next thing you know, he's introducing me to his family, his kids, and all in Spanish. And it was just one, even where the official language is English, knowing their heart language or knowing kind of their, I don't want to say tribal language, but the language they use within their homes, I think was a great opportunity to be able to reach. And I think the leaders appreciate that. Even if you don't know a lot of Spanish, they still are very graceful and appreciate the attempt or understanding their culture.
Yeah, that's really helpful. I appreciate that. So as we come to the end of this podcast, I have two more questions for you. And the first is just, what exciting things are happening in your region that you can share about? Things that you know, we can just be aware of, that, you know, a normal person listening to this podcast in the U.S. may not hear these stories. So what's a story that you can share that would let us know what's happening in Latin America?
Sure. I think for me, one of the most impactful is, prior to going on the field, I ran missions out of a large church and had the opportunity to see mission trips develop. And when I went down, one of the desires that I had was to continue the mission trips, to bring people from, you know, North America to see the ministry and to challenge them, so when they go back that they can look at life and ministry and their spiritual life in a different perspective. And one of the encouraging things for me is, just as we've continued to bring North Americans down that have very limited, you know, Spanish, we're seeing a movement where Latins are really encouraged to, and we've been challenging them to step up, to send missionaries to other parts. And when I was down in Paraguay, I had an opportunity to speak to some leaders, which I thought was going to be about 10, 12 leaders from one of the larger churches, turned out to be over 200 leaders.
Wow.
And when I talked to them, I challenged them. I said, you know, you in your churches can be sending missionaries. You need to be looking at sending missionaries out. And I had four or five pastors afterwards come up to me and says, do you really think we could be a church that sends people to other countries. And I said, I don't even think, I know you can do it. And I know that God has, you know, instructed us to do that. And in that process, we've had several encouraging, where we've had leaders that have gone over to other countries and served as missionaries in other countries. We have a pastor from Mexico and Costa Rica. We have one of our seed guys that was in Peru. And we have a young lady that's looking at traveling outside of Latin America, which we're super excited about, that they're just, and the local churches are really getting behind them.
That's super exciting. And, you know, I think that in the future, it is today too, but I think that the church is a from everywhere to everywhere church. And so it's exciting to see that passion, you know, being realized in the Latin American context. How can we be praying for you? How can we be praying for the region as people who want to lift you up and be aware of the things that are going on? How can we be praying?
Yeah, thank you so much. In terms of our family, just, you know, we're a relatively young family, or at least we have young children. I don't know that Jason and I are so young, but so just, we always appreciate prayers for our family, as we have a son in elementary school and twins in preschool. And so that just prayers as we navigate, any of you who are parents know that there's always challenges and adding a cross-cultural element to that. So we for our family, would always appreciate those prayers, and that we would really keep the main thing the main thing. You know, we believe that God has called us to Latin America, and that's our heart and our passion, but we know that our first and foremost call is to our family, and we don't ever want to lose sight of that. And so just, we appreciate prayers for that. And along those lines, both for us and for pastors in our region, you know, we've started to see the toll that maybe the pandemic or maybe just years of ministry have taken on some of our pastors. And so there was a survey conducted not terribly long ago where statistics look like you'd see in other surveys, but these were just Church of God pastors in Latin America, where, you know, almost 60% said that they felt emotionally discouraged. And of the women that were surveyed, 75% said that they felt emotionally exhausted. And 60% reported not having any close pastor friends that they could confide in. And, you know, there's a whole lot of thoughts of things we would love to do about that. And we're working with some of our leaders and some of our missionaries in that element. So just definitely prayers for encouragement and for God to continue to build those connections. That's why we think connections are so important, because people realize that they're not alone, that there are other people who are going through what they're going through, and God can really work through that. But so I think for the region, that's one. And then just going back to what we said about the missions initiatives, that's been a heartbeat that we've been hearing for a while, but now, you know, it's not just a heartbeat, that's actually growing legs. The seed has developed a missions department, and they're starting to ask really good questions about, how do we do this? How do we send missionaries and support them well? And, you know, we've been invited into some of those conversations, but we're not running it. This will not become another department of global strategy or the Church of God in North America. This will be an entirely Latin American run operation, which we're super, super excited about. And we have the opportunity to occasionally speak into things or offer some perspective or ask questions or answer questions. But other than that, it's been run by the Latins, which has been super exciting to be a part of those conversations. And we can't wait to report in coming years, you know, what God's doing and what's going to happen that may or may not even be on our radar screen right now. So we're super excited about that. But we ask for your prayers, because that's not a simple process in the U.S. And I think it's even more complex when you're talking about Latin America and something brand new. So prayers for that's appreciated.
So if people want to get more information about what's happening in the region, is there a way that they can do that?
Yeah, so if people want to hear more about the latest, of course, things are always growing and changing. On chogglobal.org, you can find a resource page that talks kind of about Church of God in general. You can read missionary bios or go onto the project page and read about different projects that are happening in the region. If you go to the missionary bios, you can check out our page, where there will be a link to our newsletters. And our newsletters are where we have updates about what's happening in the region, and especially things that you can be praying for, because that, like I said, can change on a regular basis. But we really, really appreciate your prayers and your connection there.
Well, thank you so much, Jason and Abby, for sharing with us today, for giving us a glimpse at the work that's happening for the Church of God in Latin America. So many exciting things to be celebrating, new church plants, new excitement for missions, and things to be praying for, to be, you know, for encouragement of pastors. I think that pastors around the world can't understand the challenge of loneliness and discouragement. And so I just hope that as a body, we can spend time praying specifically for our pastors that are serving across Latin America. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for sharing. And we look forward to hearing from you again in the future.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, Visit us at Twitter, at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.